you know, it's that's so when people come at you because you're, you know, you're being a Christian in front of them, you can love them because you realize I could be that person that's coming after me. And then you also realize who you are. I'm a child of God. That was interesting. I would have liked to hear the guy who's speaking on authority. We don't understand who we are in Christ to use that authority. We have God's authority. God, the creator of the universe, we have his authority. He has given it to us. Not for our own benefit, but to bless others. To bless those around us. To lift them up. To comfort them. To give them joy. To show them hope and peace. You know, to show them a better way. It's always funny to me. I would, you know, if there's some guy who's wanting to destroy the world, and he's be like, we need to get rid of the Christian first. I'm like, are you kidding me? Those are the guys that are, you could have us in slavery and we're still working happily. You know, like, those are the ones you want to keep. It's like, those are the, you know, the other people, they'll work for you, but they're depressed. And I'm like, hallelujah, I'm being tormented. Jesus loves me. You know, that's the way Christians should think. It doesn't matter. The guy, I love all the stories in the Old Testament, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to go into the fire. If God saves us, he saves us. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But we trust God enough. We love God enough. We know that God's going to bless us enough to go do your worst. I was reading a book on spiritual authority, and it said if your government comes against you, you go, I don't agree with what you're doing, but I'm willing to take the consequences because you're in authority. So if God wants to take me out of it, if God wants to protect me, if God wants to change things, so be it. But I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to tell you about God. I'm going to be a witness to you about God. And if I die, I die. And if I live, I live. You know, whatever. Because you have to understand who God is and who you are to him, and how our earthly carnal mind just can't understand it, because we're in survival mode, and God has given us many verses that said, "Hey, I'll feed you, I'll clothe you, I'll take care of you, I've already lined out a path for you." But we go, well, maybe I need to help. I find every time I help God, it doesn't go well. You know, I think of many people who do good things. I wrestle, there's a church down the road, and I wrestle with that because they do many good things. But I go, if they're not rotten God, that's the verse that says it was all vanity. Even if it was good intentions, if God didn't tell you to do it, if God didn't put it in front of you to do it, don't do it. So, it was funny the other day, a friend of mine called me up. This is the guy that he and his wife had their marriage set free. And it was funny, he called me up and he goes, David, I don't know what to do. He goes, I'm furious. I said, what? What's going on? He goes, my daughter just took the iPad and she threw it through the TV. And he goes, I don't know what to do. And I'm just laughing. He's like, why are you laughing? I'm like, that's hilarious. It's just a TV, man. The TV is just we have one. We got one sitting right in the middle of our living room. But it's just a waste of time and energy and money and your brain cells. And it was funny, when I created our entertainment center, I wanted to put doors over it so that you couldn't see it. I didn't do that because it was going to be too complicated. But that was my desire. Maybe I should put a little curtain around it so you can't see the TV. Because it's probably watching us. You guys know that, right? Just kidding. Oh man, I have to really not go down those rabbit trails, because I love that conspiracy stuff. I was talking to one of my clients the other day about the hurricanes, and sorry, this is totally non sequitur. And she said, well, it's unprecedented. It's never happened again. And I was talking to her about HAARP and DARPA and all that kind of stuff, and she's like, you're crazy. And my mind is, I'm thinking, man is wicked, and man will do anything and can do anything, and we have no idea what man is capable of. And if you think man is good, then you're delusional. I didn't say this to her, but this is what I'm thinking in my mind. It's like we have to understand. I mean, that's the Bible says, don't trust any man. Only trust God. And that's so accurate. I mean, my wife cannot trust me. She should not. But I got God in me, so she can. You guys all have God in you. And that means they can trust the God in you, not you personally. So, getting back to that. So I've been kind of scouring my life trying to find what in my life could be idols. Anything I put before God. And I was noticing, I don't really have a problem with fear, but I think fear is an idol, because people will, if you're fearful, that means you're not, that you've put fear above God. You said, I'm more afraid of whatever it is I'm afraid of than trusting that God has my best interest at heart, you know. So that's an idol. And you're like, well, that's not an idol, that's a sin. It's like, no, you've made that an idol. You said, anything you put before God is an idol, and ahead of God. Pay attention more to than God, you know. And it can be very subtle. And so I'm trying to go through my life and make sure there isn't any of that kind of stuff. Because it's funny, you know, as a kid, you have all these, you think of all these things that are sins, you know, swearing and, you know, doing, you know, wasting time and overeating. And as you get older and you become more in love with God, that stuff just kind of falls away. And so you have to really, God has to really show you what's in your life. And usually it is, it's doubt, something like that, or fear, or, you know, because we don't understand, we have head knowledge, but we don't have heart knowledge. We can go, oh, yeah, I believe that, but you don't really believe that. You know, you don't really believe that God will come through in every occasion. That's why it's good in as you see, the older you get, the more you see God come through, and you go, well, I have experience of that. Takes less faith because you've seen God come through over and over and over again. I mean, Mary and I can tell you, we have no idea how we survived every month and paid our bills every month. I mean, I had a crummy part-time job, and Mary had a job that paid okay. And I'm like, I don't know how we ever paid our bills. But every month we paid our bills. And it's still to this day. My biggest complaint is, man, every time I get ahead, the bar gets raised, and I'm like, I'm making more money than I ever have, and I still barely pay my bills. That's hilarious. You know what that causes me to do? Is 100% trust in God. And every time God comes through, even if it's like at the last second, you're like, I don't know how we're going to do this. And like 2 minutes before the buzzer rings, some money comes in. You pay all the bills, and you're like, it's like, I think Clay said something, and I love this. This is the way I live my life. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and you can either worry about it or you can just go along with God's plan. It's still going to happen. You're not going to be able to affect it. When God wants to bless you, he's going to bless you. Amen. He's going to take his time doing it, because it's a lesson. You have to learn to be patient with God. Man, God is ultimately patient with us. Long-suffering. God is creating us to be his bride. And a bride is the head of the household. You know, the husband is the head, and then the bride runs everything. You know, I mean, the wife does that. You guys notice that? The wife runs the house. And that's what we're going to be. We're going to run the house. God's going to, you know, God rules over the nations, and then the bride's going to run the house. We're going to be the queen. That's who, and we don't have that mentality. We think, you know, I go, God, why would you use me? And he goes, because you told me. He goes, do what you mean with whatever you want. That's dumb. If you don't want God to wreck your life, don't ever tell him to just do whatever you want with me, God, because he will wreck your life. And it's good. And what's awesome is you don't ever miss any of it. You go, why was I ever holding on to that stuff? It's funny. Like, I don't know if you guys have a collection of stuff from when you were younger. And then you go through it later and you're like, why do I still have that? Because you like, you know, like, or you saw a movie when you were young and then you watch it as an adult and you're like, that was totally dumb. I don't know why I ever thought that was interesting. So I can think of one that was about, it was called Joe's Apartment. And it was about a guy who has, his apartment is infested by cockroaches. And as a young man, I thought it was hilarious. As an adult, I thought that was the most ridiculous movie I've ever seen. It was so vapid and pointless. And you see that, because as like I can see Gabby, life is fascinating to her, and she's trying everything and doing everything. And like this morning, she went outside and she was standing on the patio table. We're like, that could fall over and you could crack your head open. What are you doing? But she wanted to touch the umbrella. She wanted to know what the fabric felt like. I'm like, well, just come to us and ask us. We will get the umbrella down and you can touch the fabric. It's like, But then when you get older and you get wiser and you get more knowledge under your belt, you know, when you see God do things more and more and more, you learn to, oh, you're right, I should just trust you. You do come through every time. That's why it's good to tell young people. It's a fearful thing. You go, God's going to come through every time, and then you're like, oh, please, dear Lord, don't make me a liar. He does. He doesn't always come through the way we expect him to. But he always comes through. And we need to look at him that way and understand him that way. Like, I pray for things all the time, and your fear is like, well, I prayed for that and it didn't happen. And it's like, well, that's from the devil. The fear that it didn't happen is like, it didn't happen. Maybe it has happened. Maybe I don't understand. That's how it's happened. I just need to thank God. Because God said, hey, if you ask, you shall receive. And you go, I asked for that. And so I'm just going to go, all right. It happened. As a parent, I know some things are good for my child and some things are not. And she asked for things. I mean, if we go into the store, I already know I'm going to say no 20 times. No, you don't need that. No, you don't need that. Sometimes it gets so annoying. You're like, okay, fine, you can have that. God wants us to keep asking. So I'm going to get into Acts 3 today. Romans, not there yet. No, I went past it, didn't I? There we go. Are you guys blessed? Yes. Is God talking to you? Yes. If he's not, we need to fix that. Well, he is talking to you. Are you hearing him? That's the question. Almost there. There's lots of pages. Acts chapter 3. There are going to be a lot of believers that just go to heaven being happy, just being saved. But that's not the kind of believer I want to be. I want to be a believer that's seeking God out and knowing him fully. And I think it's the problem with the world is there are not enough Christians that see God 100%, you know, go all in. They just see the nominal Christian out there on the street who goes to church on Sunday and then they live the rest of their life during the week being, you know, relatively moral and then go to church on Sunday and then, you know, live their life being relatively moral. And they're going to go to heaven. They're going to spend eternity with God. But I want to know who God is now. I want to understand who God is now. And, I mean, my assumption is if you're here in this church, this tiny little church that we guys got sneaking in and stealing our electricity, and you guys have that same desire. I think I told you several weeks ago, or probably a month and a half ago, that there's a guy in our family who said, I was asking if he went to church, and he said, no, I don't, because the church we were going to, there's no life in it. And I'm like, that hurt. That hurt. That the church didn't have life in it, and that he could see that. And there's a lot of churches out there that are exciting, and they feed your flesh a lot, and they have all the lights and the smoke and the, you know, 18-piece, you know, rock band up on the stage, and I've been invited to some of those, and you go, and I could see the people worshiping, and I know they love Jesus, but to me it's like a big old show, and it's like, you know, they have the click track in their ear. And the people directing it, and they've got six guys in the computers back. You know, we got one guy, Jed, and he's doing the video and the audio and the lights and everything. They got six guys and 12 computers and $150,000 consoles. It's a show. I mean, I can't judge their heart. I don't know, but it hurts me. I just see it. It's not. There's no life in that. It's all emotion. There's a friend of mine used to go here. He's always posting stuff about different churches and stuff, and you shouldn't follow, like, if don't listen to Bethel music and all that kind of stuff. And I go, okay. I don't know. I don't know about any of that stuff. I know that if you love God, you love God, and I can't judge your heart, so be it. I'm just going to reach who I can reach. I don't know where. I'm going off on a rabbit trail. I'm going to get into the word. And Peter and John were going up on the same day into the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth. And the certain man being lame from his mother's womb was being carried, whom day by day they put at the door of the temple, being called Beautiful. So the door, it was the Beautiful door at the temple. They actually think they have found it. They found a doorway underneath the city, and it's really ornate in Israel, and it is beautiful. So that could be it. So somehow it was buried, so it didn't get destroyed. To ask alms of those going into the temple. That guy, it was the guy with the cup. He had a little cup out. You know, he was asking alms. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And with John looking intently toward him, Peter said, "Look to us." And he paid heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. So he was wanting money. It was funny. I was wrestling. I didn't open the window because my wife and my daughter were in the car when that guy was asking for money on the side of the road. Had I been by myself, I probably would have opened the window and talked to him, prayed for him. So, because, you know, I'm a dad and a husband, and I have to be mindful of the people that God has put under my care. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. But Peter said, "There is no silver and gold to me, but what I have, this I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise up and walk." We prayed for that guy to get a house. I wonder if he's going to get a house. I mean, Gabby prayed. This guy got up and walked. We have as much Holy Spirit in us as Peter and John. And the stuff that happened in the Acts church can happen as much today as it did back then. It's for much for us as it is for them. Miracles happen all over the place, but they don't happen so much in America because we have brains. And we don't expect it to happen, and we're fearful of it happening. And we, you know, people who are new believers, people who see witchcraft and all that kind of stuff, and they know that the spiritual realm, If they believe the Bible says it, then it's true, then I'm going to do it. It's like that's the way we should be. We need to stop thinking and just do. And taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones were made firm. And leaping up, he stood and walked and went with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He's got to work for the rest of his life now. Oh, man. I don't know why that's what comes into my head. But can you imagine that? He's been, couldn't walk from birth, and now he can. It's like, have you ever seen those videos of those kids that get like the ear implants and they hear their parents' voice for the first time? It's amazing. I don't know. You guys, I watch weird stuff. But it's amazing. These little kids get these little ear implants and the mom says something to them and the child just lights up and starts crying because they hear the mom's voice for the first time. This guy walked for the first time. He was able to walk. And he was praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. It wasn't as interesting because they didn't say, in the name of God, rise up and walk. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene of Nazareth. So obviously, they're saying, you know, it makes it obvious which God, that Jesus is God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him. And it was the one whom was sitting for the shrine, for the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with amazement and ecstasy at the thing that had happened to him. It's good. You know, it's if you see somebody that bad stuff has happened to them all the time and all of a sudden something good happens, it's like, wow, that's awesome. Something good happened to that guy. But you know, the guy having his legs back, that would be incredible. It'd be unbelievable. If something like that happened in this church, even though we would totally expect it, it would still be like, wow. And the healed lame one was holding to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them and on the porch and called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And seeing this, Peter answered to the people, men, Israelites, why do you marvel at this one, or why do you stare at us, as if by our own power or godliness we have made him to walk? I think that all the time. I think when I, you know, because I the reason I never did anything with my God-given talent was I knew I would have pride about it, being able to sing. And I do that constantly. In my mind, I'm always reminding myself, you are only who God made you to be. You can't do anything of yourself. There is nothing. I sometimes go and play some video games just so I can remind myself I'm an idiot. I'm nobody special. I just said, God, use me. That's a dumb reason. I just enjoy playing video games because I like to get in the flesh sometimes. usually it's after I've done something really spiritual. I'm like, man, I have too much spiritual. I need a little flesh right now. This is overwhelming. We need to understand that. We need to understand that there's nothing special about us, but there's everything special about us. So that's like I don't know if that's the word. Is the dichotomy a correct word? Yeah. It just seems so odd that there's nothing special about us, but we are completely special at the same time. And it's like the world can't understand that. That's like, how can you separate between someone's actions and the person? How can you say, this guy is a pedophile and he did evil, but God still loves him? And you think that's the most vile thing on the face of the earth, that man needs to die now. But that doesn't mean the guy doesn't deserve whatever he's got coming to him. But God still loves him, and he can still be saved, and he can still get into heaven. And man, that could hurt you. That could rankle. Because I can't think of anything more vile than that. But the guy doesn't know who God is, and if he knew who God was, he would not do what he did. If he understood who God was, if we were to share God with him, to be a witness to him, to love him, some of them I know that they know they're evil, and some of them I think their conscience is just so seared they have no idea, because I can't imagine being able to do something like that and not just want to kill yourself every day for doing something like that. But we need to start seeing God the way, people the way God sees him, God sees them, and to love people the way God loves them, to ask to see people the way heaven sees them. You know, that's why we're supposed to be heavenly minded, which means what is the Father saying and doing? What does the Father have in mind for this person? What should I say to this person? We can think, well, there's nothing I could say that would change this person. I mean, because that's a fear you have immediately. Well, that person is who they are, and they're not going to change. God could give you some random weird word, and you could say that to a person, and immediately they'd be broken, and they'd fall to their knees, and they'd receive God. It was an awesome testimony about the man who OD'd. I have another acquaintance who, same thing happened to him. He was actually out for, I don't remember how long, 20 minutes. He was dead. And saw God, came back to life, and gave his life to God. Now he goes around preaching everywhere he can. God will find you in your lowest place. And those people are at the lowest place on earth, you know. God can find them and change them, change their hearts. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the God of our fathers glorified his child Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, the one having decided to set him free. But you denied the Holy Righteous One and asked for a man, a murderer, to be granted to you, and the author of life you killed, whom God raised up from the dead, of which ye are witnesses. I think a lot about that. I think about all sorts of things, that Jesus' body was gone, that thousands of people saw him. But the biggest one I think about, we have a book that we read to Gabby. It's called Creation, the Curtain, and something else. And it talks about the curtain being ripped in two. I'm like, how do you deny that? How do you deny that? Somebody said something the other day that the doors of the temple kept getting blown open. They were talking about it. They were saying that they have written documentation that said during that time, that the temple doors just kept blowing open and the curtain was ripped and they couldn't close the doors. Every time they would close them, that they would blow back open. It's like, how would you not know? How would you not be trembling? You just put Jesus on the cross to death and something like that happens. Obviously, he was the Son of God. I wonder how many of the priests realized what happened that day. But, you know, again, they'd be afraid to say anything. It's just like in political parties, people are afraid to say anything. They don't want to stand up again and say what they believe, because if you do, then just even in life, you know, you don't stand against your group. God has given me more boldness to just say things lately. He'll give me something to say, and I'll just say it. Because you immediately, he'll tell you to say something, and you think, well, what if they take it this way? Or what if when they're mad? Or make things. It's just like, no, when God gives you a word, you just say it as is. Don't change it. Don't make it better. Don't make it nicer. Don't make it more palatable. Just say it how God says it. Because you don't know what that person needs to hear. Whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witness, and on the faith of his name, this one whom ye see and know was made firm by his name, and the faith of which came through him gave to him this complete soundness before you all. So it's like, hey, we said in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and rise up and walk. And you saw it happen, and you know who this guy is. You cannot deny that. We didn't say in God's name. We didn't say in Yahweh or Jehovah. We said Jesus Christ, which was whatever they called Jesus Christ back then. It wasn't Jesus Christ. I don't know what they called Jesus back then. Yeshua. Yeah. They said in Yeshua. His name. People will get in. I get in arguments with people like that sometimes. They're like, well, you have to say Yeshua. You can't say Jesus because that's not God's name. It's like, man, God knows your heart. If you think God is so finicky to, you didn't say my right name, so I'm not going to listen to you. That's dumb. If my daughter sometimes calls me David, it's like, I'm your dad. You call me dad. You don't call me David. I still answer her. Somebody called her a punk the other day at school. You're a punk. She didn't know what to do. She was mad. What do I do, Dad? I said, next time you tell him, thank you. I'm the coolest punk there ever was. I said, it'll throw them off. She goes, I don't understand. I was like, trust me, they won't understand why you're not coming back at them. You're not taking, evil for evil. You're just, I learned that when you just, it's like the Bible says, turn the other cheek. Whatever. Because, that's not who God says I am. Man can say anything about me, but that's not who God says I am. You can totally just blow it off. There's no reason to get mad about it. You don't know my heart. You don't know. I mean, my daughter is probably one of the most loving little kids I've ever met. She just loves everybody and wants, like, when we play games, she loves to win, but if you win, she's excited for you. That's not normal. She'll, hooray, you won! I'm like, you're not my child. You need to win and rub it in. And now, brothers, I know that you acted according to ignorance and also to your rulers. It's true. It's funny. Like I get in conversations with people that believe stuff, all that believe, in evolution, and I'll tell them, I'm not upset that you believe in evolution. You've been fed this your entire life. It's what you were taught. You don't know how to think any other way. I'm giving you another way to think. And I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm not. Because I've experienced the loving God. I know who God is. He's in my life. He talks to me. I don't often say that because I always expect him to go, well, what's he saying right now? And then I go, well, man, now I got to put up or shut up. But I should expect God to come through. I should expect the Bible says not to tempt God, so that's, but I think we can be, God is God. He's omnipotent. He knows what's going on, and if he wants to reach someone, he can reach them through you. But what things God before announced through the mouth of his prophets that the Christ should suffer, and he fulfilled in this manner. So he's saying, you did it in ignorance or you whatever, but it was going to happen. So hallelujah. It needed to happen because Jesus needed to die. Jesus needed to come and live a perfect life, sinless, fulfill the law, die. Then the law, who killed somebody who was perfect, was fulfilled. The law the law doesn't have any hold on it anymore. And that's the problem, is we as believers still kind of, the law is, if you sin, you die. Well, that's not true anymore, because we have Jesus in us. The blood is covering us. Not saying go out and sin, though you will, because because we're, our flesh still is trying to pretend like it's alive. When you know something to be true, that's in your spirit. And if you're still wavering about it, it's because that's your flesh. Your flesh still doesn't know. Therefore, repent and convert for the blotting out of your sins, so that times of refreshing may come from the face of the Lord. I mean, sin is that's what I love about. I know I've talked about that book a couple of times, but it's like that little book is so well written. And it's like God put angels in front of the garden as a keep out sign, and there was a curtain in the temple as a keep out sign. You can't come in because you sinned. It separates us. And then Jesus came, and the curtain was torn, and the keep out sign was removed. And God said, come on in to the Holy of Holies where I'm at. Remember, Moses was the law, and only the law could see the back part of God. Moses couldn't see God's face. Where am I at? Therefore, repent and convert for the blotting out of your sins, so that the times of refreshing may come from the face of the Lord. That's awesome. You know, when these guys get saved, guys or gals, anybody, it's refreshing. You learn it, and it's when I always see people from Hollywood get saved. These people, Justin Bieber or Shia LaBeouf. I always go, Lord, don't let them fall into some stupid church that's gonna, throw a bunch of law on them or turn them into some crazy. I'm like, they should come here. They could hide out. Nobody would know they were here. We could teach them Jesus. We won't tell anybody you're here. We never told anybody that Gary Busey was here. Please don't tell anybody that Gary Busey was here. I want people, when they're saved, I want them to get the truth, because a lot of people can get hurt by the church. That was like that young man, and I went and I said, Jesus, I've been talking to Jesus lately. He said, don't talk to me about the church. The church has done wrong. It caught me so off guard. And I just said, yeah, the church can be wicked. I didn't know what to say. And now I would go, I didn't ask you about the church. I was talking about Jesus. Jesus is talking to you. He said, hey, open your ears. I'm talking to you. I want to talk to you. So, and that he may send forth the one before proclaiming to you, Jesus Christ, whom the heaven truly needs to receive until the time of restoration of all things which God spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from the ages past. For Moses indeed said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up you a prophet from among your brothers, one like me. You shall hear him according to all things, whatever he may speak to you. And it shall be that every soul, whoever should not hear that prophet, shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. And also all the prophets, and for Samuel, and those following after, as many as spoke before, announced these days, you are the sons and prophets, and of the covenant which God appointed to our fathers, saying, Abraham, even if your seed and all the families of the earth, even in your seed and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Having raised up his child, Jesus, God sent him first to you, blessing you and turning away each one of your iniquities. So he's just saying, so Abraham, your seed. So Abraham had a promise. And that was the thing, is Abraham believed God, and he messed up all over the place, but he believed God. And remember, that counted to him as righteousness. This was before Jesus even came. So Abraham's seed brought about Jesus. It's funny because Abraham was trying to help God. You guys remember that? He had Ishmael because he was helping God out because he wasn't patient enough to wait on God's promise. God said, "Hey, I'm going to give you a son. You personally, you and Sarah, you guys are going to have a son." And they didn't trust God. They're like, "Well, God's taking too long." That's the problem with God. He takes too long. God, you're taking way too long. Maybe I need to help you out. And God's saying, "No, be patient." I was talking with someone the other day, and I was saying when God gives you a word, that doesn't mean you're supposed to do it immediately. A lot of times He'll give you a word. He'll say, "This is what I'm going to do with your life, and now I'm going to spend the next how many ever years." I was talking with Clay. Remember, Moses spent his first 40 years in Egypt and then tried to do his own thing. He's like, "I'm going to help out the people." And then he killed the Egyptians, and his people were like, "Hey, what'd you kill the Egyptian for?" And then he ran off for another 40 years. And so he was 80 years old before God fulfilled his destiny. I hope I'm not 80 before that happens. But it's like we assume that if God gives us a word, we're supposed to do it immediately. You always ask God, "Okay, you gave me a word. Now when?" And sometimes God will just say, "Just be patient." Because He's got to grow you up. He's got to do things in your life so that when the time comes, you are well equipped for what is about to happen. It's stupid that I get and argue with people on Facebook and YouTube. But man, that has equipped me to dig in deeper into the Word. Because people will say something, I'll go, "Oh, yeah, I got to go search that out. I gotta understand who my God is. I gotta fall in love deeper with Him, so that when someone talks to me, someone comes against me, I can speak with authority, and no wavering, and not be emotional about it. Because that's the hard part, is when someone comes after you, you want to get emotional, and you'll start shaking, and you want to defend yourself, and you go, God doesn't need any defending. God is God. He's Almighty God. You just say what comes. You just say what you need to say. Let it come out of your mouth. What God tells you to say." It's fun. That's why I think apologetics is fun, but I don't think it's necessary. Because we're trying to justify God through earthly brains. It's like, just say who God is. Just that's God. God can change a heart immediately, and you don't need to rationalize it. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for loving us just as we are. Thank you for promising to complete the good work that you began in us so that we don't have to wrestle. Thank you that you said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Help us to listen to what you said and do what you said instead of using our own wisdom. Bless everyone here today. Shower them with peace and joy. Remind them who you said they are and not to question that. And keep everyone safe, and let conversations be edifying to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Monty, can you give us the Aaronic blessing?